Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The V government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson. It is another episode of Anti-Media Radio. In fact, it's not just another episode. It is the first episode of 2017. It is January the 3rd. After quite a long, trying year for a lot of people, especially with the election, I think that really with the news cycle made the year seem twice as long as a typical year does. But here we finally, we know the outcome. We finally got a new beginning in front of us, whether you are happy or not happy about the outcome of the election. That doesn't mean that it should have a bearing on your personal life, because at the end of the day, whatever it is you don't like, that you recognize in someone else, whether it's a public figure or a public servant, those qualities that you see that you don't like, be the difference. Be the difference in the world that you want to see. Love the people around you. Be good to the people around you. Make this year the best year you can possibly make it. Get up. Make a change. Make a difference. Make a difference in your community. Love everybody around you. Stop judging people, especially with all this bickering that goes on social media. And it's just everybody at everybody's throats for every single opinion that they want to spout, because we all know everybody's got one. But at the end of the day, we're all human beings that are on this planet, and we can love one another equally, period. We need to get away from the divisiveness, which is constant in corporate media, mainstream media, politicians. This is how politicians get elected. This is how corporate media gets ratings, is they promote fear. And the objective is for us to buy the fear and be scared and be terrified of our neighbors. And look, with social media, it's just people, and with the younger generation of you can't say this and you can't say that. And not that I'm that far removed from that generation. I'm pretty much in it. But look, we have to have some common sense here, and we need to start communicating with people instead of just wanting to fight and you know, cut cyber throats and argue and whatever. It is what it is. Love your neighbors. Last year's over. It's gone with. Trump's gonna get in office. You don't have to be like Donald Trump. If you don't like Donald Trump, be the opposite of him. Be that positive influence in your community and forget what he is. I'm gonna go ahead and bring on one of our co-hosts for the evening, Mr. Kevin Knight. Kevin, what is going on?
Hey, man. Happy 2017.
Happy 2017 to you as well, sir.
Hey, man, you were you're right on point, man. A lot of good stuff there.
So, yeah, we've got a lot going on in the news, but it seems like it's just the typical same old garbage that we keep hearing. Oh, let's be terrified of Russia. And, you know, guess what? The Washington Post lied to us again. How is the Washington Post, real quick, before we even get into the show, how does anybody take them seriously at this point with all the stories? I mean, how many times did we bring up just the one story from the Washington Post of them insinuating that when Hillary Clinton collapsed on 9/11 at the memorial this past year, that it was because the Russians had poisoned her? Like, how did anybody ever listen to anything they had to say ever again after that?
I missed that one. I'll be honest with you. Of all the ridiculousness that they have said, especially in the last few weeks, I missed that one. You know what? That kind of ranks up there with the Fallout screenshot. Is that, you know? It's no surprise though. I mean, I guess there's probably no limit to what these stooges, these corporate media stooges, will go out on a limb for whatever it takes to throw out a positive a line that they can use to shift the narrative. They're going to use it. You know, but it makes me wonder, and I think, and I've seen this time and time again over time, it seems like it gets further cemented, but people are getting stuck in their, we all get stuck in our own little clouds. And I think, you know, if you're one of the people that subscribe to the Washington Post, you've got to be one dedicated person to actually pay money to subscribe to a rag such as that. And of course, you know, are you really going to expect to believe anything different? You know, when you're paying, when you're following this source, it's you know, all I can think is that there's just so much out there that yeah, I mean, it's a crazy world. The Washington Post apparently is driving the train, so to speak, in the media.
Well, I think you just nailed it. I think that's one of the tools of propaganda that people don't realize is that it's the amount of information out there that is meant to confuse people, because there's so much that nobody at the end of the day really knows, hey, is this true? Is this true? Is this true? And it's because they've been presented every different side, whether it's conspiracy, which, by the way, the government puts out crazy wild conspiracies and leaks them themselves just to throw you off of this other thing. It's the amount of information, it becomes so convoluted. And that's what our society is today. First off, it's that. It's pseudo-intellectualism that everybody thinks they know everything. And from my experience, especially with the experience of the election that we just saw, nobody knows anything. Everybody had the election figured out. Oh, they knew exactly how it was going to go. How'd that work out for everybody? It didn't go exactly how people thought. And yet, the big takeaway from it should have been not who was right and who was wrong, but it should have been, hey, corporate media sold us this line over and over and over, and they were all wrong. Once people figure out that what corporate media is telling them is either heavily meant to steer people off the path or just outright lies, then they'll be able to start figuring out what's actually going on in the world. The first thing you have to do is turn that crap off. And I'm not saying don't listen to it. I think it's good to know what they're saying, to kind of know what angle they're coming from. But at the same time, don't read it, don't listen to it, and take it as, well, that's a fact. Because, sorry, we don't live in a day and age where they've got the upper hand on being right on anything. That's at least my big takeaway. That's the big takeaway, I think, from 2016, and that we need to take into this new year, especially with what we do with independent media. But it's not about independent media. It's about having independent thought. And people need to get away from this groupthink, whether it's, well, CNN said this. And people don't realize that, well, I heard it on the news. That's still groupthink. You're still just going along with what someone said. Well, they must know. Do they? Do they must know? Because they've been so right. And look at the Washington Post just having to retract their article on the electrical grid in Vermont getting hacked. Guess what? Didn't happen. What a shock.
And not just didn't happen, but completely didn't happen, to the point it was It was almost a complete. I mean, there's not even a like. It's I couldn't believe that. You know, when I read the title of the various articles coming out, including the some very fine pieces by the anti-media, I couldn't believe. I didn't expect what I read actually in the articles. I couldn't expect to be something that ridiculous of a story to grow legs and to see it. You know, of course, parried about and carried by other news agencies. That obviously, you know, how many people heard that stuff, shared it? I saw it shared on Facebook by a number of people, you know, and carried. And it's just, you know, you never even read the article, but if you did, at least the ones from the anti-media's perspective and those that are actually looking for the truth behind it, behind just the title, you couldn't help but it's almost laughable, except it's criminal. It really should be criminal. And it's influencing way too many people. And I think the media, it'll be an interesting year following up last year's fiasco.
You know, you're right. I wish, if anything, people would just take away, hey, maybe I don't know everything. Hey, maybe I need to expand my thinking a little bit and what I accept is true and what I don't. I'm afraid that for the majority of people, that's not really going to happen despite all the garbage that came out last year. And I hope I'm wrong about that. But I know tonight on Sean Hannity, of all places, they're going to air a sit-down interview with Sean Hannity and Julian Assange. And we've got a story up right now on the front page of antimedia.org. And it's a story we've ran, I don't know how many times over the past, 7, 8 months, and publishing today, I was like, do we really need to run with this again? But I think it's important to, and the headline is just simply, Assange to Hannity, our source is not the Russian government. Julian Assange just said it over and over and over and over and over. And people can like him, they can hate him, you know, whatever. They can think that he doesn't have ethics because of the way they handled some of the stuff that dealing with Iraq and the way they didn't, you know, take anybody's names out, whatever. At the end of the day with WikiLeaks, what we do know is nothing they have ever put out has been fake. It's all been true to a very embarrassing level for a lot of government. And the crazy thing is, we're not even at the point now where the DNC or Hillary Clinton or the government as a whole are disputing that anymore. You know, that was the narrative for a little while with Donna Brazile, but that's not even disputed if it's real or fake. It's just, well, it's Russian. Sorry, until we see evidence that it is, Assange has told us repeatedly, it's not. He's one person that we do know knows where it came from. We don't know many people that knows where it came from, but we know he does. And
you know, on top of that, there's speculation. I don't know how much of that there is. I think he's been a little bit, he being Julian Assange, has been a little bit harsh with his words. But apparently there's some insinuation that he's referring to when he's referred to people before when he's made the same case that it wasn't the Russians, and he made a reference to possibly the DNC staffer that was found murdered, who was not robbed, but I think he had multiple gunshots. But apparently there's some belief that that's who his source is. So I doubt he'll be giving that up tonight on Hannity.
No, by all indications, he's not. Actually, WikiLeaks, first off, you're speaking about Seth Rich, the DNC staff member. But WikiLeaks tweeted out earlier, and I want to see if I can find this. Okay, it says, to be clear, our statements about our U.S. election publications are only, number one, our publications are accurate. Number two, our source is not a state. But then I just saw this scrolling through it. Speaking of Seth Rich, let's see. It's talking about another $20,000 reward here. Okay, this is not because, okay, Assange and WikiLeaks actually offered a $20,000 reward for any information that led to who shot and killed Seth Rich, which is pretty odd considering he supposedly didn't have anything to do with it. You know, Assange has hinted at it. He's never said it. Why would you offer a reward for just some random DNC staffer if you're WikiLeaks?
Right. There was not that was killed in a murdered like other people of relative importance are not
right.
are not killed every day.
Right. I mean, if something happened to one of us, I can tell you right now, WikiLeaks is not going to offer $20,000 to find out who, you know, who murdered us.
Right. Right.
But actually, this new tweet, it says, this is from WikiLeaks. We're issuing a $20,000 reward for information leading to the arrest or exposure of any Obama admin agent destroying significant records. So, you know, whatever that means, I don't know. Maybe they feel like there is Obama administration officials. Maybe that's WikiLeaks propaganda to kind of put people in that direction. I don't know, but I know that his interview with Hannity is going to be airing while we're actually on air tonight. So
I just saw that. So hopefully I'll be able to catch it online later. I'm actually interested to see what they have to say. Of course, you can imagine it's going to be so heavily redacted and edited.
It's hard to say with Hannity because Hannity, you know, it was just a few years ago. He wanted to put this guy in prison, said he was a traitor. Oh, it was just the worst person that's ever been. WikiLeaks, they're all scumbags. And then since he started releasing stuff on Hillary, oh, he thinks he's this great man, which just goes to show you that somebody like Sean Hannity, they say, well, it's about freedom of this and that. No, it's not. It's about your side winning. Because if you were about the freedom of it, you would have been all about it when he was calling out the Bush administration, but you weren't. You thought he was terrible then, but now that they call it the DNC and the Clintons, oh, you think they're great.
Well, and that's, you know, and it goes back to what you said earlier in the show about corporate media. It's so scripted and so brought to you today by your elitist and by your thought makers and your opinion makers. How could you not expect this stuff to be you know, more of the same? It's what you get, you know, if you turn it on. And it's not just anymore it's every news channel, you know, pick it. If it's Fox, if it's Young Turks, oh, I hate to even mention those guys. They're just, you know, at some point in time, I used to enjoy watching those guys. And I still do watch them every now and then. But even them, they, you know, went head over heels for Hillary Clinton back during the election. It just goes to show you that everybody's got their side and they're going to argue it. And it doesn't matter what your opinion is, they're going to attempt to mold it. And you can't let them. You just can't let them. There's just so – it's. I know it's difficult, but – it goes back to what you were saying earlier as well, that you're not always going to be right. Be willing to give it up. You know, you're not going to change everybody's opinion. And so I personally don't try, but you know, pick your battles wisely. But you're not going to attract a lot of flies with vinegar. You'll attract a lot more with honey. So be cool with your message, but getting fed up and trying to push a corporate agenda message is not going to get you very far. These days in 2017, hopefully.
Well, you know, and people shouldn't – the only agenda people should be worried about pushing is getting to the truth, especially if you're in journalism or media. And speaking of the Young Turks and the whole Pizzagate thing, look, I don't know what that's about. Have no idea. But I know this. I've seen evidence for one side. I haven't seen evidence disproving – any of
the contrary, right?
Right. Now, does that mean that the story is true? No, it does not. I haven't seen anything that says this is 100% definitely real. But guess what? I haven't seen anything that said this is 100% definitely not real either. And the Young Turks did the exact same thing that corporate media did and said, hey, guess what? This story's fake. Fair enough. Guess what? All you got to do is say, and this is why it's fake. They don't do that. They just go, this is fake news, and you're an idiot if you think otherwise. They're there to give people information. Calling people stupid is not giving them information, and degrading them is not giving them information. Just say, hey, this is what people have found on the internet, and this is why it's all not true. And then everybody's going to go, oh, hey, that whole thing everybody's talking about, that's not true, the end. They don't do that. They just point fingers and name-calling, and they might as well be commenters on a YouTube video, the way that they get in there and just be like, hey, moron, how could you ever believe that? And it's not like they want to have a dialogue or try to inform anybody of anything. And I don't care if it's the craziest thing in the world we're talking about. It's their job to inform. They don't do it. It's all agenda driven. And that's where the independent media has come in. And that's why it's taking away from all this other and why nobody trusts them anymore. And of course, now through Facebook and social media, they want to do everything they can to suppress independent media. This whole policing that they are already doing, mind you, on Facebook is terrifying. And there's really nothing anybody can do about it. Because guess what? At the end of the day, you're on somebody else's playing field. I don't own Facebook. You don't own Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg came up with Facebook, and he's got a bunch of investors. And that's who people are going to have to – it's their will that's going to be imposed on people, whether we like it or not. That's why I think it's important to discuss this stuff in person with people. But also try to move the narrative away from this ridiculousness of, well, you're this and you're that. It's just so counterproductive. But I tell you what, before we go any further, I want to go ahead and bring on our other co-host, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, what is up?
What's up, guys? I was wondering when you were going to get to me.
Well, here we are. We're here.
Yeah.
The big one has arrived.
I'm sorry I'm late for work, boss. I almost cut my thumb off trying to make dinner tonight. So I had a little bit of a minor medical emergency that I was able to take care of the anarchist way with some duct tape and gauze.
So you're still all together, though? You're still all put together? You're good now?
What's left of me, yes.
Well, that's very good. Okay, being the first show of 2017... Shannon, since you're just coming on here, what do we have to look forward to? I think we do have a lot to look forward to. We may not see it when we turn on our television, but what do you see in this upcoming year that we, not only as Americans, but, you know, it's just human beings, that we have to say, hey, this is good happening. I know, because 17 days away, we've got Trump, and that's a huge negative to a lot of people, understandably so. But again, Hillary Clinton would have been even worse if that's imaginable. We don't really know how bad Trump could be or will be. We don't know yet. That's the problem with Trump. You don't know.
Well, to be fair, we can't say that anybody's going to be worse than anybody else at this point in time.
It's all true. It's all going to suck.
Yeah, right. It's. I have a feeling we're in for whatever we were in for the Clinton, the new Clinton administration, that we're going to be in for the Trump administration. There may be some different bells and whistles that are going to appeal to voters 4 years down the line. Hopefully, if anything's done to Obamacare, I'll consider the Trump presidency somewhat of a success. And if he bombs less than 8 countries, I mean, you know,
right.
I'm trying to be optimistic here. I think much ado has been made about nothing concerning Donald Trump. The agenda is going to go forth, whether we like it or not, whether Trump likes it or not, whether anybody likes it or not. I'm pretty sure that when he's been briefed, that, you know, he's going to know exactly what he's supposed to say, when he's supposed to say it, so on and so forth. Who we're really at war with, who we're really friends with, et cetera, so on and so forth. I do see one thing. I see a lot of Americans, particularly in the service sector, beginning to lose their jobs at a pretty steady pace from here forward. the reason I say that is because automation and technology has, I mean, really done some very impressive things that are unfortunately squeezing a lot of unskilled workers out of a job. It's really, I can't stress this enough to anybody listening. Go get a trade, go learn a skill, go learn something that a robot can't do. Because here, you know, we're already looking at cars driving themselves. We have, you know, driverless cars being tested in several markets right now, to, you know, pretty good success rate. We've had a few crashes that have been high profile, particularly what is it, the Google cars out in San Francisco have had a couple high profile wrecks. But the industry seems to keep moving forward towards that. And that's just, you know, that's just a tip of the iceberg as far as a lot of these, you know, factory jobs and so on and so forth have been quietly one by one lost to automation. And, you know, it's getting to the point if you're not somewhat technologically proficient, you're going to find yourself out of a job pretty quick. So everybody get up off the couch, go learn something, man. Learn to do something that a robot cannot do.
Speaking of,
that's your main competitor right now. Forget about immigrants.
Yeah, really. Speaking of Trump and automation, you know, that was one of the big things that didn't get discussed very much with that carrier deal. You know, there was a big fuss made about even before, of course, Donald Trump, really, before he even knew it was going to happen with Electoral College, there were already big plans being made, and it was claimed that it was because of Trump's presidency. You know, Carrier, one of the largest HVAC heating and air conditioning equipment manufacturers in the world, had plans to move down to Mexico already, and with Trump's election, or nomination rather, I guess elect position, they reversed their position. Well, what the takeaway was is they didn't actually discuss it with the rest of America, but a lot of those jobs and that money that would be made up and the plans would be through automation. So they were actually set to lose. Yes, in the immediate, there would be a lot of workers that that had their jobs saved. But it goes back to depending on which side of the mouth is being spoken out of, because then you've got automation, which I'm not going to argue is a bad thing, but a lot of workers will, in fact, not be rehired and will lose their jobs because of it. You're right.
Real quick, there's a story from today from in the Business Insider. Amazon significantly expanded its army of warehouse robots in 2016. According to a report by the Seattle Times, the newspaper based in the same city as Amazon's global headquarters wrote last week that the e-commerce giant now has 45,000 robots across 20 fulfillment centers. That would be a 50% increase from the same time the year before. We're seeing it across everywhere. And one thing I don't think people realize too, I get it. I get why people are protesting for it, but it's not reality. I'm sorry to hurt their feelings. It's just not reality. But this minimum wage protest, they don't realize what they're doing by asking for this $15 minimum wage. Yeah, great. I get it. In a perfect world, we'd all get $15 an hour and everything would be wonderful. But why is $15, first off, worth what $15 is worth? Do you have any idea? Because if you don't, you need to look into that before you start asking for that amount of money, because there's always a consequence to something. Plus, when people have to pay out that much, and we do live in these times where we've never had it before, robots can come and take people's jobs. You know, it's kind of the unfortunate byproduct of all this great technology we have, but it's good and it's bad.
Do you think we'll see a resurgence? I think it was, I don't think it's the, may have been called the Luddites. I was reading about some group back in the 1890s that went to destroying technology and saw technology ultimately as a hindrance to work and for positions for, like you said, Shannon, the service industry type folks, the people that rely and have to go to work every day to feed their families, and not just the service industry. Like you said, it's every single industry is being affected by this stuff. It's going to be interesting to see what we've got coming in the next few years. It's definitely going to keep up going, you know, what the answer is. Shannon, you know, like you said, you know, what can you do in the meantime? Go out and get a skill that a robot cannot take.
I mean, just think about it for a second. If you're the owner of a bar, and we've all, you know, been out to bars and frequented the nightlife at some point in time, you're the owner of a bar. You have several bartenders that work for you. They're all, you know, always there's some sort of drama. They're, you know, this one's calling in. This one's having some kind of fight with her boyfriend, who's also the bouncer. So suddenly you have this, you know, weird situation at work. You know, you have customers complaining because she's, you know, your bartender's always on the phone, or she's doing this or this, that, and the other. And then suddenly somebody introduces an idea. Well, wait a minute, they have this new automated machine with it. It'll mix it perfect, get it right every single time. A customer can swipe their card. You don't have to worry about anybody stealing money out of the till or nothing like that. It's perfect. You as a bar owner are going to jump at that. There's somebody that will always be there at work, somebody you don't have to pay any kind of compensation for, somebody that won't ask for a raise, et cetera, so on and so forth. And eventually in a year's time, that thing will pay for itself. In some cases, probably even sooner than that. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, it's just a simple, and that's why we see factories doing it. You know, a worker shows up late for their job, there's lost production. The robot's always there. All you got to do is hit the switch and work whatever buttons you have to work the robot, you know. And in most cases, you just go ahead and set it up and set it and forget it, as the old infomercial used to say.
There's one person that runs the Yogurt Mountain not too far from my house. I don't know if you guys have a Yogurt Mountain, but it's like the most awesome yogurt place, kind of like ice cream. But it's amazing when you go in there, the way they've got this place set up. They literally have one person checking you out, but it's mostly self-serve with everything you can imagine, with everything itemized and automated, just like you're talking about. It's amazing how many people this place will pack out and fill a parking lot and have one or two individuals that usually, you know, like an ice cream, old school ice cream joint may have a couple of people doing various chores. This place will have one, maybe two people in the middle of the summer, and it's amazing. I mean, it's something to look at in awe, but at the same time, you have to be aware. It's hard not to be aware of the consequences of like you're speaking, of automation. It's where we're headed.
And you're going to see it when you go to McDonald's. You're going to see it when you go to just about any fast food place. At some point in time, it's going to get to that point. I think the reason you haven't seen it in the fast food industry yet, particularly in food preparation, I don't know, some folks are old school and they just like to see an actual person cooking their food. You know, it gives them some sort of illusion of a home-cooked meal, you know. There's a little psychology there, but, you know, people are getting over those old psychological habits and they want it now. And if you want it now, then you don't have to deal with a snotty teenage kid when you go to McDonald's anymore. You just hit a couple buttons and swipe your card. Who wouldn't want to do that?
By the way, Shannon, there's a horrible delay on my end. So I apologize for speaking over you.
No, you're fine. But yeah, okay. I mean, that's where, I mean, you know, again, everybody needs you need to learn how to decrease your dependence on not just government, and you know, we talk about that a lot on the show, but just decrease your dependence on everybody else. Try to do something for yourself, you know. I'll just leave it. Because we can fill a whole entire show with this particular subject.
We've got a story right now. I want to jump to this real quick, kind of covering a little bit of last year and where we're at in this new year. Right now, front page of the antimedia.org is top five stories you missed in 2016 while mourning the death of celebrities. I'm not going to get into the whole celebrity thing. That's, you know, each their own, whatever. But the stories inside this article, I think, are massively important for this upcoming year, not so much necessarily last year, especially The first story mentioned in the article, which is Obama quietly signs the Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act into law. We touched on this a little bit on the show, but this was done over Christmas weekend, so it was done right at the end of the year. And it was shoved into the NDAA. And for those of you who don't know, basically what this is our own de facto Ministry of Truth. It's going to be called the Global Engagement Center because, you know, Freedom Act, Patriot Act, oh, global engagement, that sounds great. The act will allow the government to exert influence over any media outlet it labels propaganda. While it is impossible this early on to say whether or not it will severely damage the First Amendment, given their preoccupation with fake news, it's hard to imagine the government will not use this legislation for draconian purposes. The law calls for substantial spending to facilitate counter-propaganda in order to ensure the government's approved fact-based narrative. Whatever that means. Okay, think about who's giving out the facts here. I mean, when we're talking about who's checking on the Facebook facts, who's supposedly policing that, Snopes, and the Washington Post. Like, the Washington Post is involved in that, who just has just retracted a story that was so bogus they even had to retract it, and they rarely even do that. And these are going to be policing the truth. And this is what we have to deal with in 2017, is the information war will continue, and why it's how we started the show, why it's so important. So important. Do your own research. Just because you saw it on Facebook or you saw it on TV or you heard it from a friend, look it up for yourself and make sure it's true. And just because you see one story, make sure it's true. Even if it's on CNN, New York Times, they lying to you. You need to go back. And if they say something happened, look at their evidence. If you don't see their evidence, you have to question if it's true or not. Unfortunately, one thing that we've seen over the past 2016, this is something hopefully that will change in 2017. Don't know if it will, but the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, has reported that, at least from the latest numbers they had at the end of 2015, drug overdoses surpassed gun deaths and car accidents in this country.
Wow. What is the final total on that? I'm curious because, again, over the weekend, over in where
Kevin lives. Over 55,000 Americans died.
Where Kevin lives, we had a couple die over the weekend, which is where I'm from and my family lives. So apparently some friends of friends yet again passed away from a drug overdose. 2 years ago, I lost my sister-in-law. Year and a half. No, it's been about right at 2 years ago. And it is just, again, it's one of those things that people are not talking about. And everybody's kind of quietly talking about in circles. If you, and again, with all of the money that goes into preventing car accidents or deaths from car accidents, all the money that goes into the, you know, gun control and all of the advertisement, you know. And then we have drug overdoses, which...
Shannon, there's a war on drugs. Didn't you hear?
Yeah, and it has failed, not only failed utterly, but now it's very suspicious why we're seeing all of this popping up at once. We've kind of touched on that on the show just a little bit. I mean, you know, again, why else are we in Afghanistan? Our military is still camped out there. We're not supposed to be there anymore. Didn't we kill Osama bin Laden? Isn't all that over with?
They're not as free as they need to be. Only until there's that right amount of freedom. I think there's like an index, like a color-coded index somewhere that they have to like hit this certain color of freedom or I don't know, maybe it's numbers or scratch and sniff. I don't know how they do it, but at some point they'll tell us that they've got just the right amount of freedom and then they'll leave.
And meanwhile, we have just a rampant amount of heroin, which I've never seen in my lifetime, here in the United States, and it's killing people left and right. And not only that, but I mean, we also can't, you know, discredit that most of the heroin that, at least in our part of the neighborhood, the heroin that people are overdosing and dying from is being cut with an FDA-approved drug.
Well, that's how people, first off, a lot of these people that have died from drug overdoses have died from technically legal prescription painkillers.
Fentanyl, particularly, yes. In the Birmingham area has what has taken the life. That's what took the life of my sister-in-law. It was taking the life of quite a few others. And, you know, and of course, everybody's pointing the finger at heroin and heroin addicts and so on and so forth. But then again, all of these people aren't dying from overdoses off of just straight heroin. I'm not saying that there's not a few sprinkled in there in some places, but here in our area, a vast majority of the overdose deaths are from intravenous drug use, heroin cut with fentanyl being.
Well, I tell you what, this right here is from the CDC, and this is for 2015. That first off, right around 55,000 Americans died from drug overdoses, while 37,000 died in traffic accidents, and 36,000 roughly died from gun-related injuries. But heroin deaths rose 23% in 1 year. 13,000 people rounding up, unfortunately.
And I expect 2016's number to be larger.
I do too.
I do.
But listen, while Oxycontin and Vicodin and prescription drugs killed right at 18,000, so illegal heroin killed 5,000 less than prescription drugs. That should tell somebody something, that just because you make it legal or it's not legal, first off, people are going to do what they want to do. You have to realize that there's no law in the world that's going to stop somebody from something, especially a drug, if they want to do it. And the thing that's so mind-blowing is you get predominantly conservatives who say, well, we can't screw with the Second Amendment at all. You can't pass any regulations at all. Because guess what? If people want guns, they're going to get them. And now you're just taking the guns away from the good guys, because they're already acknowledging if you want one, you're going to do it. But then you turn around and say the same thing. Well, guess what's happening over here with drugs? Well, no, that's got to be illegal. Like, they just need to, like, they don't acknowledge that they would rather have somebody go to jail when they could get help, or, you know, they're dying or going to jail instead of helping them. And they just said, well, they can just stop. I don't think that people realize is people are getting hooked legally through prescription purposes. Look, speaking of celebrity deaths, Look at Prince. Legal drugs. People get involved with legal drugs because they're
drugs. Michael Jackson as well. Yeah, I believe his was Rohypnol.
Yeah, I don't know what his was, but I think it was stronger than they'll give the average
person. It was like anesthesia or something like that. It was something absolutely just ridiculous that I'd never heard of before.
Yeah, I don't think what Michael Jackson was on was probably legal, but
it was Demerol, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it was Demerol and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, that was all. There's no telling what all actually finally got him.
Yeah, I think they were just putting him on whatever. But that's kind of beside the point. The point is we need to wake up and realize there is a problem in this country. There are people dying every single day. And we have to decide, hey, do we want these people to continue dying, or do we want to try to reach out and help them? And we have to make a very tough decision, because it's one or the other here. And the more we say, well, we want the war on drugs, how has that worked out? All it's done, it's prohibition on steroids. It makes the black market go crazy, which brings in more violence into the streets. Look at Chicago right now. Gang violence is running crazy. How much do you want to bet a lot of that has to do with people selling what? They're not selling flowers. They're selling drugs. And why are they selling drugs? Because black market, the prices go up. We have to deal with the problem. People don't realize that ending the drug war would end so many problems in this country. It won't fix everything. Nothing's going to just fix everything. People are still going to be people, and people are still going to do bad things. But we have to address that the drug war is causing a bigger problem than we have to have in this country. People are always going to do drugs, drug war or no drug war. People haven't stopped doing drugs because Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan declared a war on drugs. It's gotten worse. People don't want to hear it, though. Yes, the goal is to get people off drugs, but is locking them up stopping them? No, it's not. It's causing violence in the street, and it's causing people to OD. And it's getting worse the more Big Pharma gets involved, which we've seen the past few years, which you were hitting on, Shannon.
And you don't be a drug dealer or a drug addict and go to jail and suddenly stop dealing drugs. It's not like drugs are not available in jails. You know, like you said, it's not just an issue of, hey, let people do what they want, but it's you're causing more harm than good by policing people. It's not like a zero sum game where, you know, it's one or the other. It's what they're doing by jailing all these people for, you know, technically victimless crimes. I know there's some debate about that, but what you put in your body, if you're going to go to jail from that, you're not going to suddenly stop the minute you get into jail. That's not how drugs work. That's not how drug addicts work, but that's definitely how criminals are made. And it's definitely how you make money off a state backed and private backed sometimes in a corporate backed industry that feeds on this stuff, that pushed it out. And now we're seeing the repercussions of it when government gets involved with a lot of these pill mills that they're shutting down, and you're seeing people run out and do what they only know to do, and that's go to, you know, the illegal drugs, and it's a shame.
And another thing I don't think people really think about, Kevin, too, is if you just got some kid that gets caught with, you know, with some pills wherever, he's, you know, he doesn't really know anybody, and he gets caught and he gets put in jail. Well, guess what? He just made a whole bunch of connections. And I don't think people realize that a lot of jails and prisons are harboring the drug trade way more. I think it's helping continue just from the inside more than it's taking it off the street. People don't want to hear that, but look, go look at alcohol prohibition. How did it work out? It didn't. So why will this be any different? How has it been any different? It hasn't. There's people dying. We need to do something to stop it.
And the people are dying from the drugs that are supposed to be legal. That's absolutely insane. I mean, you know, look, there are, and you just listed it a moment ago, there are some legitimate deaths from straight heroin, which is an illegal product that somehow, some way keeps making its way to our shores. It seemed like back during the 80s, during the Just Say No era, heroin had dried up. You know, I'm not going to say completely, but it had dried up a pretty good bit. I mean, you know, Gibson, you've been in this city for a good long while. I mean, 10 years ago, was heroin even just a thing?
To my knowledge, no. And I've known two people that have gotten on it real bad. One actually OD'd from it. So it's obviously in the city now.
Yeah, I mean, it's all up in the city and all of the outlying communities.
And these were, like, you know, good people that, like, grew up well and got into, like, you know, it some backwards kind of way because of legal stuff. and that being on legal stuff, we're not talking like these were, you know, bad kids, but they got on legal prescriptions and then they took the next step and took the next step. And the next thing you know, they're doing that. It's just terribly sad. It's terrible.
And I've had several family members, again, their trip through addiction started at either a dentist's office or, you know, going to see the doctor about their back or whatever the case may be through legitimate channels. And the next thing you know, they've gone through their script and, man, I'm feeling pretty good about it, but man, this pain's starting to come back. I need some more. And next thing you know, they're hooked. And they, you know, the few family members I'm speaking of had a long uphill climb back to, you know, back to a normal, manageable life. I mean, and again, we're seeing a lot of good, decent, hardworking people that are, you know, upstanding pillars of the community, one by one, getting, you know, strung out. Rush Limbaugh, we remember what happened to him not too terribly long ago.
Right. I mean, you know, that should tell people as well. We've got, 9 minutes here left on the show. Thoughts real quick. I don't know if y'all saw this. I'm going to change the topic just for a second. The Minnesota Vikings-Chicago Bears game. And the protesters, the Dakota Access protesters, hung from the ceiling and dropped down a divest U.S. Bank, no DAPL banner from the football stadium. It was pretty funny.
Nah, that's how you do it right there.
Yeah, did either one of y'all see that over the weekend? It was great.
No, I've not seen that. I've actually kind of been out of the loop this weekend. A lot of stuff going on around the house. You know, when you get a bunch of Christmas presents, there's some assembly required. So
it was a holiday weekend, but yeah, so we've got that going on. And people need to realize that that's still not over either. Just because 2016 ended doesn't mean that the battle at Standing Rock has ended. It's just kind of shifted a little bit. But hopefully we'll see some real resolution to that. We're at a decent point with it, but it's still not all the way over, and people need to remember that. Also, the big story for me over 2016, early 2015, probably before, has been what's been going on in Syria and Yemen as well, from two different sides. We finally have the ceasefire holding in Syria, which was put together by not the United States, which I don't think, you know, the United States cares for that very well, because, you know, what's the old line that the world can't run without the U.S.? The U.S. has to be involved. If we don't do it, then nobody's going to do it. And it's a fragile situation over there right now, but hopefully people can start moving on with their lives. It has been absolutely terrible what's going on in Syria. We do know part of the destruction was caused by this flippant, let's just fund anybody. That's just, you know, whatever. They've got some arms. Let's give them a gun and let them start shooting. Now, how far into did they know who they were giving these weapons to? No, maybe not. But we think we know, and what we think we know is not very good, is that they were consciously arming and funding what had been previously labeled terrorist groups that were all of a sudden labeled freedom fighters and rebels. But, you know, it was about getting out of sight.
Also, yeah, one man's freedom fighter is another man's ISIS.
That's it. Also, the big one is the war in Yemen. That's still going on. The U.S. is still backing it, despite one kind of bucking at Saudi Arabia and telling them that, you know, they're not going to sell them this one shipment of weapons, which they funded $115 billion since Obama's been in office. Great job. But one thing about, they talk about human rights in Syria and all these countries. There is a child dying in Yemen every 10 minutes right now because of the war that is going on there. No, we're not doing anything to stop it. We're making it a million times worse. And people don't realize the consequence of war is people getting sick and starvation and a bunch of horrible, horrible, horrible things that happen to people that is not a direct result of a bomb falling on your head. And we're creating an environment of hell on this earth. And for what and why? Now, there's a million different stories, but and people are going to get upset by, you know, they hear that and they get upset. Oh, the U.S. was not. No. Guess what? It's happened. It's reality. And we need to stop running from the reality of what U.S. foreign policy has done. And we need to adjust it. We need to change it. I've said repeatedly, I do think Trump will have some form of a different foreign policy. When I say different, I don't necessarily mean better or good. I don't know what he's going to do. I do think it'll be different. Will he shift? Will he move? I don't know. It could stay exactly the same too, but it does appear that he's got different relations with at least Russia than Hillary Clinton would have. I mean, do you think all this stuff that we've heard about Russia hacking this and doing this and yada, 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 would we have heard any of this, any of it, if Hillary Clinton would have won? Do you think a word about any of it?
From the left? No, no. Come on, man. No, no way. No, that's her buddy. We haven't heard anything from the anti-war left for 8 years now while Obama has bombed 8 countries. And that's probably one of the reasons that he got away with bombing eight countries.
Do you think there would be all this anti-Russian propaganda? The way we're hearing it right now, clearly Hillary Clinton had every intention of wanting to provoke war with Russia. It's unquestionable based on everything that came out of her mouth during the election. But because she lost, they lost all their footing. And so now it's all this, well, they hacked this, they did this, he's illegitimate, it's blah, 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 blah. If she would have won, do you think we'd have gotten so-and-so is Russian propaganda, or this is fake news, or Russia hacked this, or Russia did this? I don't think we would have heard any of it, personally. I think it's always done on the fly to try to save face because the loss was so embarrassing.
And again, you know, if they had tried to shift the blame toward a smaller country that was prone to attack or this, that, and the other, it would have really riled up the international community. And I really honestly believe in my heart of hearts that Russia was chosen as their target because they know full well that Russia won't do anything about it and they won't do anything about it. And it'll do is just open up that the freezer door for the Cold War just a little bit longer. It may get slammed shut with Trump, and it may be, you know, handshakes and roses between him and Putin. We don't know.
I think it was picked as Russia because Russia has been the new boogeyman for a while. I mean, they you know, finally Bin Laden's gone. They, you know, got to get a new Emmanuel Goldstein. And so that, you know, it's Eurasia this week. That's who we're fighting with. And so they went after Putin. I mean, Romney even started in 2012. And I mean, Hillary the entire time, even Mike Pence, they asked him in one of the debates about Russia, and he was ready to go to war with them.
Well, don't you think, though, for a second that's kind of why they were chosen as the boogeyman? Because, yeah. And they could have easily done the same with China. And you know, they've kind of hinted around about it a little bit. You know, China flying over.
Stupid enough to go after China like that, I think. But I tell you what, that's it for us tonight. Thank you so much, Kevin. Thank you so much, Shane. For Anti Media Radio, I am SM Gibson. We'll see you on Thursday. Anti Media Radio out. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.